As we begin, perhaps have a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for what you're doing, and help us think of all the sick and different ones. And God, here we are. So deal with our heads and hearts, and we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the process of looking at his entrance on Sunday, and they shouted, Hosanna, and that was their cry. But shortly, they shouted, Crucify him. The same people who said, Hosanna, they then said, Crucify him. And we looked at that. Now, so, keep in mind now that God is God. There is no other God, and God is a glorious God. And a glorious God is going to, like any skilled person, an artist who is brilliant, has to paint something, has to give expression. God is glorious, and he gives you can't be that glorious. He's God. He's going to have to express himself. That's what he does. He's going to express his glory. It's all about himself. Now, what's the key centerpiece? What's the key centerpiece? It's his cross. Before anything is ever created, you know it for 5,000 times. The Lamb of God is slain before the foundation of the world. Christ, God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost have determined to glorify them, their nature and essence being, and they're going to glorify it. And they're going to glorify it so that God is the centerpiece. God's the centerpiece. And he's going to make, now remember, God has no dimensions. There's nothing outside of God. Here's the universe. And there's nothing in God. There's nothing outside of God. So, and God is invisible. God is immense, obviously. So to look at some spot, we can't do that because God is everywhere all at once. Now, God, what are you going to do to show your glory in a most unique way? You're going to go, we haven't talked about angels. All we're talking about is God sending his Son to die on the cross. There's nothing. The centerpiece of all the plan is the cross. That's what he's going to do. And he's going to do it by creating humans to have choice, etc. And Adam and Eve are created. Now, going at the beginning, what did you tell me? You tell us, God, that you created Adam and Eve. Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. In your image and likeness, with a grand purpose to rule, to run the universe, as it were. They were to be the custodians of God to run it, and they would be still running it if sin didn't come along. But it did. So here we are looking, and Adam and Eve sinned. They lost the rule, and the world ended up in a ruin because of sin. Now, but the key point, God created them in his image and likeness to rule. Secondly, Genesis 3:15, God, the seed of the woman, God was going to die on the cross. So Adam and Eve, now after sin, recognize to receive something they had no inkling until they sinned, that there was a need of a Savior. Sin had to happen to wake them up, and they woke up. And when they woke up to their condition, they were naked. And the fig leaf didn't work, and the tree didn't work. God, they understood when God said God had a wonderful plan to save them, and they went along with the plan without any argument or any debate. That's what they did. So they went along with that, and they did it. And they did that. The centerpiece. And so Adam and Eve sinned. Adam and Eve were saved. Abel was saved. Cain wasn't. Now I'm going to jump right through. Here's all of history. All of history going along. And in all of history, God, that you have a different plan. There is no different plan. There is no different plan. The centerpiece, as the pages of secular and sacred history are turned, the centerpiece is the cross. It's the cross. That's the target. That's the centerpiece of the glory of God, what he's doing. So now, we turn the pages of history, go through history, secular and sacred, and we go through it. And as we go through it, we ride along all the way through. And we keep going to the crosses. There's the Christ died on the cross, which is what we're looking at. We're reminding ourselves today in a special way. God would fulfill, went to the cross. The cross was the centerpiece. Is it earth? And no. Time isn't meant. Time is a little spot like this. And here's eternity. And here's time. Time is put in the middle of eternity for God to take out of time that which he wants for eternity. Time, a little piece, for God to create us humans and for us humans to be able to go and for Christ to die on the cross. And when he's done with the plan, the centerpiece is the cross. It isn't about anything else. It's about God glorifying himself. Now go over, if you would, to Revelation. And Revelation chapter 21 and 22, just to remind yourself. And in Genesis 21, you will just note, if you would, in the light of the context, time-wise, Revelation chapter 21, going, if I can, to verse 23. And the city, the New Jerusalem, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine on it. For reason, the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. God's created a new heavens and a new earth, chapter 21, and God is going to be in the center. He's going to be in the center of this new heaven and new earth, which lasts forever. This one isn't meant forever. This is just a little speck for God to make his wonderful design that he would show himself forever in a way, in a most wonderful way, that glorifies his glorious person. Now, sliding down, chapter 22, and in chapter 22, and I'll go to verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And, verse 4, they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Verse 5, and there shall be no night there. They need no night, need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The Lamb of God is the centerpiece. Remember, all the way through Revelation, the Lamb, L-A-M-B, is repeated, Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. And it's always the little Lamb. Never a big Lamb, a little Lamb. A little Lamb. God, a little Lamb. And when you see him, he is the risen Christ, the little lamb, the man, Christ Jesus. Ah, now, hang on. Now, that's the program of what God has in mind. What's he doing? He's trying to get to make it possible so that he can bring into eternity this marvelous picture, new heavens, a new earth, the city, the light, no stars, no moon. No, it's all new. It's all different in a most marvelous way. To what? Glorify the Lamb, who is the Lord and light of the universes, whatever it's going to be. Wow, that's the program. Now, you need that. What do you think, I'll say it this way, what do you think is going to interfere with that program? What do you think is going to stop that plan that centers in Calvary's cross before the foundation of the world? There's nothing anywhere by anybody anyhow that can do anything to stop it. It's the centerpiece. Now, hang on. You get that part. So therefore, you're going to sit and go to bed tonight, if you do, and you go to bed, and you what? You're going to know. The plan has to happen. God has to, it has to be. It doesn't matter what anything, people, persons, places, problems, whatever you want to do, there's no way for anything that you can mind, think, or look at, or consider, that stops it. It's the everything else is going to disappear. That plan is going to stay. Now, having said that, now, God, you're going to go to the cross. You said to die, remember, John 1:29, the Lamb of God. What do you say, John the Baptist? He pointed to what? The Lamb of God that what? Taketh away the sins of the world. Now, here's Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve agree. Abel agrees. Cain doesn't agree. He doesn't agree. So we all have an old nature now because Adam and Eve sinned. We have an old sin nature. That old sin nature, without doing a lot now, in the light of that, Romans 8, 6, 7, and 8, the old sin nature cannot please God. Never will it honor God. Your old nature and mine is totally against God. You got to hang on to that. Adam and Eve's was totally against God. They needed a Savior. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, what do we have? Well, we have the Genesis 6 and Genesis 5. They did evil in their evil continually, more and more, and they got badder and badder. And the Genesis flood, what are they doing? They're rebelling against the plan. They're rebelling against God's saving grace. They do not want the seed of the woman. They are against it. Okay, I'm looking to find when they're for it. They aren't for it. Adam and the Genesis flood, Genesis 11 comes along when they were all developing, and has humanity changed? No, not at all. They haven't changed. Haven't changed. Oh, and God says in Genesis 11:6, if I don't step in now and scatter them, it's going to be evil and evil like you've never seen in Genesis 6. So, God's going to stop. And it went. So we keep going. Kings, we go all the way down, all the way down. And as we're moving through history, does humanity change? Israel, who should honor God, their old nature dominates and wins. And Israel, Assyrian captivity, Babylonian captivity, Titus 70 AD. Babylon, the Jews, where are the Jews? The Gentiles, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 2, 7, 9. Human history, the Roman Empire. What empire honors God? What place honors God? What people honors God? Nobody. There is none, you know it, Romans 3. There's none righteous, no, not one. So the whole human history going down the corridor of time is opposed to all that God is doing all the way to the cross. They crucify him. That's what they did. They said, Hosanna, and then crucify. Hang on. That's what they did. Now, just a little bit. John, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John in verse 4. And you will note directly, chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's what my mood is, my food. Over to John and chapter 13. John chapter 13. And in John 13, picking up, please, in verse 31. 13:31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Judas went out into the night. Verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, in Christ, God shall also be glorified, shall glorify him, Christ, on the cross, in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. No question. Chapter 17. And chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son. How so? Crucifixion. That's the key. That's the key to the whole ball game. Angels and everything. The crucifixion. Now, verse 1 again. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And you can keep going, but you got the idea. God, that's a plan. It's a glorious thing. God, why are you going to the cross? I must go to the cross, he said. I must go. It's the plan. It's the plan before the foundation of anything. That's the plan we're doing. And God in Christ is the centerpiece. Why? God, who's going to be crucified? God is in Christ. That's who's going to be crucified. Now, keeping that in mind, here we are going down the corridor, and here's all humanity, and all humanity is set. Over to Matthew chapter 26. And you'll notice in Matthew chapter 26, may I pick up, please, a little more context in verse 63. Remember, Jesus had three Jewish trials. He had three Gentile trials. That's six trials. Six trials. They put him on, who's putting him on trial? The system. Jews and Gentiles are putting him on trial. Who are they putting on trial? The God who's going to go to the cross. He's delighted to do so. It's the will of God to do so. The thought of our old sin nature. Chapter 26, verse 63. Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, Hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. And the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we to witness? And behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. He is guilty of death. Wow. Therefore, what are we going to do? We're going to yell and cry out, the crowd, crucify him, crucify him. Crowd's going to yell out, we have no king but Caesar. The crowd's going to cry out, his blood be on us and on our children. The crowd is going to call out. That's what they're doing. And what is their plan from square one? To kill him. They're going to kill him. How are they going to kill him? Crucifixion. Christ, the sinless Son of God, is fulfilling the plan. Now, the plan involves his death on the cross to show his saving grace. Because Christ died for the sin of every single human being that would ever be born on planet Earth before the foundation of the world. He planned it. He had it all done for everybody. So it's a wonderful thing. Now, what is the world doing? It's coming at him from day one, history, back in Genesis 3, coming at him like this, all the way to the cross. And what are they doing? We're going to crucify him. Who's crucifying him? The sinners. What are they doing? He didn't do anything wrong. No, he didn't. He didn't do anything. He's there as the sinless Son of God. What's he doing? They're coming to get rid of him, to kill him. God's wonderful plan. Back to John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. What are you doing, God? Why are you going to be crucified? Because the world is dead in sin. They're dead. They're dark. They're in evil. They know no good. And they're killing. What are they doing? The wages of sin, Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. Romans 3:23. And behold, we all have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did they understand what Christ was doing? He was dying for them. No, they didn't understand that. But they're going to, in mass, Jew and Gentile, are going to kill him. But God's going to kill him. How is God going to kill him? With the unsaved worlds, they're going to kill him. Why are you on the cross? Why are you there? You're the sinless Son of God. I'm going to bear the sin of the world in my own body on the tree. And what they're doing, they're all sinners, and they're coming at me like this, and they're bringing all their evil and bad and dark on top of me. And what are you going to do, God? Run? No. I'm going to cry out, my Father, my God, Matthew 27, why have you forsaken me? I'm going to bear their wrath, their sin. That's my whole point. I'm going to bear their wrath and their wrath and their sin, their punishment in my own body on the tree. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2. You know it. First Peter chapter 2, and you'll note, if I can, deciding directly to verse 24, 2 and 24, who his own self bare our sins, where? In his own body on the tree. Where did the sins come from? We, all humans, we came and brought them to him. We brought our sin to crucify him. We crucified him. Stoops, that's us. What are we doing? We didn't understand. He was taking me there. That's what he was doing. That's why I sent him there. That's why you sent him there. Because he's dying for us. He's the sinless Son of God. And what's he doing? And he is all right. Till he has to what? Come to grips with the final conclusion of why he's crucified. To bear our sin. Us guys. We brought him. We hate him. We're killing him. Do you understand? That's why he died. It was a glorious plan. It's a wonderful plan. It's a glory. God's glorified in it. Us stoops think it's, we got him outside the city. We got an empty cross. We got rid of him. Till you guys came along. The believers came along. Wow. And then you make it a problem. Because you believers believe that he rose again. And that he saved you. That's right. Adam and Eve got saved. Abel got saved. And we got saved. We did. And God, and it isn't ended because they crucified him in terrible unbelief. God is demonstrating his grace in a world what that doesn't believe. Jews don't believe. Gentiles don't believe. But whosoever's can believe. Whosoever's can believe and get saved. Wow, that's right. And God, then the tribulation's coming. And God has given every condition on planet Earth in time for human. Every argument that humans, if you make it the Garden of Eden, but we sinned. If you make it the millennium, where everything is perfect, we sin. If you say, God, leave us alone and let us, Genesis 11:6, let us do as we want. And that's the tribulation. The Antichrist, you can do all kinds of bad stuff. You can do it. I've given you everything. So when I'm all done with the millennium, Genesis 21 and 22, then I'm ready to finish. Why? The centerpiece of my glorious purpose to create, to put humans, saved humans that believed, to put them in my holy, happy city, my heaven, as it were, coming up. And I'm going to take the rest in my eternal hell. And either way, heaven or hell, all are going to honor me everywhere. The plan, I died on the cross for your sin. The reason you will die is not because you're a sinner. You're going to die because you don't believe. Because Christ died on the cross for your sin. And you're stupid enough not to believe. And that's all I want you to do. Because I took care of the problem when my son went to the cross. I bear that problem in my own body. And all you, us humans, we crucified him. We did it. We did it. We did it. And we had to do it. And we didn't realize the reason we did it is because he had to save us. And the only way he could save us is that we would recognize our sin and be saved in a most marvelous way.